Ready for our study of the Word of God. I'm sorry that not many people come to this class, because to me this is the most important of the three classes I teach. But that's just my take on things. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is that it gives you an opportunity to shift gears from the day and concentrate on worshiping God and His Word, and check and be sure you're in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, it is so important that we be in the power of Your Spirit. You gave Your Spirit to Your Son, and You gave Your Spirit to us. What an unbelievable blessing. And Father, we pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see as we study loving in the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay. Let's open the Word of God to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Just to remind you where we are as far as our study in 1 Corinthians 13 and what we're studying in this regard. John chapter 13 begins Jesus Christ with His disciples hours before His crucifixion. This is in the early evening on Tuesday night, moving into Wednesday morning, and He's been talking to them, and He comes down to verse 34. Well, verse 33, little children, and He's talking to His disciples, I am with you a little while longer, just a few hours really. You will seek Me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by loving as I love, all will know, not men, all will know, angel and man, that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, the new commandment, to love one another just as I have loved you. Now, people, let me tell you what one of the things going on in the emerging church and what different people, because they left with no other option. All right, let's see how He loved, and then we'll imitate that. And we'll just do what He did. People, that's not what it means. He loved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must be in the power of the Holy Spirit to love just as He loved. See? Not a duplication, not an imitation, but just as in the same power that He loved. Now, since we are commanded to love as Christ loved, and since we can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ, it is important to notice how the love of Christ did not boast. Where in the midst of studying 1 Corinthians 13, love, spiritual love, does not boast. The love of Christ did not boast. If any member of the human race had anything in which to boast about, it would have been Jesus Christ, the God-man, perfect humanity, sinless. Yet Jesus Christ did not boast. The love of Christ, the love that was empowered in Him by the Holy Spirit, did not allow Him to boast. This point takes us to the heart and soul of the angelic conflict, which we're studying in our second class on a Wednesday night. The great contrast between Jesus Christ and the morning star, between Jesus Christ and Satan. This is the heart of the angelic conflict. It is so important that you know that Jesus Christ did not boast, and that we understand the significance of that in the angelic conflict. In eternity past, God created this grand creature, morning star, Lucifer, if you please. But Lucifer is only in the King James and is a rendition of the transliteration of the Latin in the Vulgate by Jerome. And that's where we got the name Lucifer. And so if you like that, okay, but just understand that's not a biblical name of him. But in eternity past, God created the morning star, this great creature. And we're studying on Wednesday night. He is the greatest of all the creation of God. All the advantages that he could fulfill the service that God had in store for him. As long as the morning star maintained his love for Yahweh, for the Lord, as long as he did that, it was all for the advantage of his service. But once morning star stopped loving God, he used his advantages to boast of himself even over God. He looked at himself and boasted that by all his advantages, he would be like the Most High. And we've not studied the five I wills of Isaiah yet in our study on Wednesday night, but we will. But I will ascend, I will make my throne among the stars of God, among the angels. And he boasted that he would be above God. Now, Morningstar lost the first battle in the prehistoric battle, prehistory, prehuman history. I want you to kind of think of three universes. There is a universe over here, and that's the first universe, prehistoric, Genesis 1-1, and it was a habitat of angels. It was here that morning star rebelled. And so in the first universe, we call that the prehistoric one, the great battle. What God did, he put a freeze pack over it, turned on a freezer, and put all of the fallen angels into the deep, D-E-E-P. And the deep, people, is an exciting word. If you ever want to just study ancient mythology, not Greek mythology, but ancient mythology, Egyptian mythology, Assyrian mythology, Hittite mythology, you'll come across over and over and over the term the deep. And it's in the Bible, in the Hebrew, in Genesis 1. The deep. So he put all of the fallen angels into the deep. The deep will become the sea. So we jump to Revelation 13 and how the Antichrist and the one that empowered the Antichrist come out of the deep, out of the sea. And then the false prophet comes out of the land. That's Israel. So you have those two things going on. But in the first universe, beautiful, unbelievably beautiful. He did not create it, tohu va-bohu, as Genesis 1-2 says. It became that. Genesis 1-2 starts the second universe. It's the same universe, but now it's going to be restored. So Genesis 1-2 and following is the restoration of the earth, making it a habitat for mankind. Now, that's history of man. Time, as we'd like to say. I like to say. Now, the third universe is the eternal universe that is not like the second one, nor the first. The first and second one are actually the same core. Heaven and earth are destroyed. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. So here we have the third one that goes into eternity. So we're looking at the first universe and the second universe in this study. The purpose of the study, understanding all of this, pertinent to our daily life, and I hope I can make it that, to know why you're here, how it relates to the great battle between Jesus Christ and the morning star, now Satan, how you fit into this whole battle, see? And so, in the first universe, the morning star was God's servant. We're seeing that in Ezekiel 28:11-16. We're not going to take time to read it now. Boasted, rebelled against God and boasted due to his own greatness. This began the conflict. This began the conflict. We're studying how in all eternity past, up into this world right here, one will, God's. Just for the sake of it, we're going to jump to this third universe and all eternity future. One will, God's. We're in the midst of studying the great experiment. Angels are given free will. Mankind is given free will. Now, once Satan decides, I don't love Jesus Christ anymore, he looks as it were at himself, and boom, I will. And I will, God, I will, Satan, boom. Our morning star, boom. You have a conflict. You have a conflict. And as I said last week, it got some people's attention, and they understood it perfectly. Once you get married, boom, it's all over. See, all your single life and adult, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Now it's, I will. What? Now you have two wills. Boom. Have a teenage kid. They turn about 15 to 16. Boom. Two wills. Got collision. And that's what we're studying in the angelic conflict. See? Now, the second universe, I haven't studied this yet in our study, but why the second universe? Why the restoration? Well, the best we can do is that this morning star sentenced to an eternal lake of fire way back here, protested. And he went before the justice of God. Now, some people say the great issue was, how can a loving God cast anyone into an eternal lake of fire? People, that is not the issue of history. The issue of history, how can a perfectly righteous God save unrighteous creatures? That's the great issue. That's the great issue in history. How can a perfectly righteous God have anything to do with unrighteous man? So, unrighteous creature. So God created this lower creature, mankind. Gave him free will. The first place you want to learn about grace is in the free will battle. That man can use his free will to go against God. And God still set up a system for salvation. That's grace in its ultimate form. Okay, so I hope we understand the battle and why we're here. So in the first universe, the morning star served God until he became infatuated with himself. The second universe, that's this one, where mankind is, the appeal stage of the battle, the trial. See? Now, in this is why we're called His witnesses. Because we are in the appeal stage of this conflict. We are to witness to this Satan, to all angels, of the righteousness of God and the love of God, how God can save and have something to do with an unrighteous, dirty, wretched creature, us. That's why I read last week Whitaker Chambers' quote, "When I say witness, I mean someone who is ready to stand out for their faith, regardless of consequences." Are you ready to do that? Time may come when we have to make that decision. So that's what the second universe is about. Will the servant of God, God's hero, Jesus Christ, the mightier man, His own Son, fulfill His will, or will He boast? Will He rise up and say, "I'm great"? That's what Jesus Christ is about. Is He God's hero, as it were, in the second universe, going to do what the morning star did in the first universe? Is Jesus Christ going to do that in the second universe? And as we know, He did not, and He does not to this day. Now, all the participants in the prehistoric battle are watching. They watch to see if the servant of God, Jesus Christ, would do the same as the first servant. That is, the morning star. Or is He going to continue and fulfill His service to God? Or will He lose it by boasting? So they're learning by watching what this Jesus is going to do. And then when we come into the conflict, the church age, they're watching us. Are we going to stand and be a witness, or are we going to boast? People, that's why we have spiritual love, so that we will not become jealous, envious, and boast. Excuse me. I don't know what's wrong with my throat this morning. Here's a cough drop you gave me a long time ago, Gigi. I got it. All right. So, that's what's going on. Now, the great issue, will this man Jesus, at any point in this contest, stop submitting himself to the essence of God, the glory of God, and begin to rely on his own merits, and then boast of all that he is? Is this clear of what's going on between Jesus Christ in time and the morning star in the prehistoric world? They're like-mannered in that sense. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mightier man, going to stay the servant of God? Or will he, like the morning star, rebel and boast and rebel about how great he is, even over the plan of God? That's the great battle. See? And then boast of all that he is. Or will he continue to the end, relying on divine power, divine provision? We are to love as Jesus Christ loved. The love that Jesus Christ loved by would not allow him to boast, would not allow him. Throughout his public ministry, he did not boast. I have to say this. Had I been Jesus Christ, and I turned water into wine better than Bordeaux, I would want to brag about it. I'm the little old winemaker. Not Jesus Christ. All the miracles that he performed, all of his great teaching, he did not boast. The miracles performed by Jesus Christ were not performed in his own power. They were performed, one, by the power of the Holy Spirit, or two, by his deity. But the humanity of Christ did not perform one miracle. It could have, but he didn't. In his humanity, he relied on the Holy Spirit. Some of the miracles he did in the power of his deity. Now, so let's note a few points. One, they were performed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, getting ready for something we're getting ready to do, look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah is like Ezekiel, and like all the passages, there are people who read these things and do not see Jesus Christ. I do. That's your pastor, teacher here. I do. If you don't, you're headed for a lot of trouble. As we saw with our study in Ezekiel, you were blameless. And so they say that mankind can be born into the human race blameless. That's false. We're all born under sin. So no one's born blameless. But look at Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, this means to look carefully. My, this is God the Father speaking, servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. Now look at the next phrase. I have put my spirit upon him. And he's put his spirit upon us, put his spirit upon Jesus Christ. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Verse 2, he will not cry out or raise his voice boasting. He will not do it. Nor make his voice heard in the street. He will not do that. So, under point 1, the miracles performed by Jesus Christ and his teaching performed by Christ were by the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, they were performed to reveal that he was the promised Messiah. That is, that he was the one promised by the prophets, sent by God, to be like Moses. Point 3, he was sent by the Father, empowered by God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Four, the great issue. Would Jesus Christ at any point stop relying on divine provision? Stop relying on the Holy Spirit. And boast of who he was and what he can do. That's the great issue that I want to talk about right here. We're spending a lot of time on the morning star. How wonderfully he was created. Magnificent. Beauty. Voice. Looks, everything, wisdom. And he used that and rebelled against God. He boasted. Would Jesus Christ do the same? Would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, do the same? And that brings us to point five. Jesus Christ never stopped trusting the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he never stopped loving God the Father. And therefore, never boasted of himself, always realizing that everything he had was from God the Father. Now, we're to imitate him in that sense. Follow him. People, as long as you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will love Jesus Christ. You will love God the Father. You will love his Word. And as long as we love him, we cannot look at ourselves how wonderful we are. We know that everything we have and are is because of who and what he is and what he has given to us. So that's the great issue that we're here looking at. Now, let's begin with Jesus Christ and the angelic conflict. Combat with Satan in the invisible realm. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. And we're going to read just a few verses from verse 28. Matthew 8, 28. When he came to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed, they're unbelievers, met him as they were coming out of the tombs. That ought to tell you something right there. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Son of God?" In other words, between you and I. "Have you come here to torment us before the time, before the fulfillment of the great white throne judgment, cast into the lake of fire?" Verse 30. "Now, there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them. The demons began to entreat him, saying, 'If you're going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine.' He said to them, 'Go.' And when they came out of those men and went into the swine, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. The herdsmen ran away and went into the city and reported everything to the authorities in the city," that's the Sanhedrin, "including what had happened to the demonics." So, this is the conflict going on. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 12, and just one verse here, verse 28. Matthew 12, 28. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God has come to you." If, and I have. We saw that he did it. Here he proclaims that he did it. He doesn't take personal credit for it. Authority of Jesus Christ. He was given authority over the invisible realm. We can't see demons. He could. Authority to command demons, demonic spirits, and command them. He had that authority. Authority over demons. And people, this is most significant in the angelic conflict, in the invisible warfare. See? Even demons knew This meant he was the Son of God, the Messiah. They knew it. In fact, in Mark 1:45, Jesus Christ avoided people so that he did not have to heal them. How about that? Oh, Jesus healed everybody. Study Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 45 and follow. No, he didn't. He avoided people so he didn't have to heal them. If he were there for demonstration of his own glory and boast, he would have seized that opportunity. He would have pounced upon that opportunity to show what he could do. But that wasn't what he was here for. He never relied on his own power, on his own ability. Therefore, God the Father gave to Jesus Christ authority to forgive sins and to heal. Jesus Christ never boasted, never took what God gave him to boast of himself. His love of God the Father by the Holy Spirit would not allow him to boast. If you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will not boast. Next, let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to read two verses together, 19 and 20. John 5, 19 and 20. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For, or because, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father himself will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Not boasting. I can't do this on my own. See, the morning star, I will rise again above him. Jesus Christ said, I can't do anything unless he does it first. Now let's look at verse 30. Same chapter. John 5. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I try to put these verses into historical perspective for you. They are vitally important in the angelic conflict. We read them, okay, it was wonderful, that's good, now let's move on. No, these are vitally important verses. It's vitally important that he always bore in mind, why am I here? How do I have this power, this authority? And that I'm here to serve the Father. People, we have to do the same thing. Why am I here? Why am I here? The moment we get our eyes on ourselves, we take ourselves out of the power of the Holy Spirit, we now are ready to boast. We're now ready to usurp and do our will. My will. What I want. Can't do that. But I'm just showing you the difference between the morning star and the mightier man, Jesus Christ. And how the mightier man, Jesus Christ, never forsook what he was here for. Now, the opposite of this verse is exactly what the morning star did in the prehistoric battle. They were studying Ezekiel 28. Be looking at it in Isaiah 14. But Jesus Christ would not do this. He continued to love God the Father. That love by the Holy Spirit would not allow him to boast. Would not allow him to look at himself. His love maintained his servitude. His love maintained his servitude. when the day comes that I do not want to serve my wife, I'm going to know something's wrong with my love for her. But as long as I get up every morning, want to make her coffee, do this, do these things, I know. I know. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ, people. As long as we love Him, in the power of His Spirit, we want to serve Him. We want to be a witness of His glory. Not my glory, His glory. That's what we're here for, to be a witness. Now, look at John 5, verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? That's what I've been trying to say to you right there. How can you believe, walk by faith, when you receive glory from one another? Get your glory. People say how great you are. And you just don't forget your glory comes from God. And you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. How do we seek His glory? In the power of His Spirit, in His Word. That's how we do it. But if you do not do it, if you seek glory from man, you don't need the Word. That's what's happening to a lot of churches throughout the world today. The reason they do not study the Word of God. They seek glory from man. Look at all the people I have. Look at the music we have. Look at this. Look at that. We don't need to seek the glory of God. What we need to understand is we need to seek the glory of God. And we seek it in His Spirit. See, that's how we seek His glory. Glory from one another is earned. Please remember that. You want glory from another person, you earn it. Therefore you boast. I earned it. I have a right to boast. I earned it. Glory from God is totally dependent upon God. I didn't earn it. He gave it to me by grace. He gave it to me by His mercy. He gave it to me by His love. I didn't earn it. I have nothing to boast about. That's why 1 Corinthians, let him who boasts in the Lord. That's how I am what I am, through Jesus Christ. God the Father will praise His servant for not boasting, for not taking all these advantages and using them for himself. Now, let's go back to Matthew 12. Go back to Matthew 12. I wish we had enough people where I could add a Tuesday or a Friday night class just on the Gospels. But anyway, that's my problem. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Let's read. Now, before, we read verse 28. Now what I want to do is look at verses 15 through 17. Matthew 12, 15 through 17. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed Him, and He healed them all. And He warned them not to tell who He was. This was to fulfill what was spoken of Him through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, the servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon Him, and He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. So, Jesus Christ did not come to boast Himself, to build Himself up. as we go through these verses, I want you to, we're not going to spend a great deal of time, but we're just going to compare them with what we read in Isaiah 42 about put my spirit on my servant. Now look at verse 18 again. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant. Okay. I whom I have chosen. God the Father is the speaker, speaking of his Son Jesus Christ. His servant. His Son, his servant. This refers to the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We have a commission. Jesus Christ had a commission. This is the issue in the angelic conflict. The morning star was the servant. He blew it. Jesus Christ is now the servant of God, countering the morning star who fell. See? You and I are servants in the church age. God the Father he chose the morning star. He chose Jesus Christ as his hero. And he chose us in the church age. All eyes are on Jesus Christ. The eyes of angels and man are on Jesus Christ to see if he will keep on submitting and serving God, not deciding to go to his own power or to boast of what he could do. Continuing, verse 18, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Here's God's view of Jesus Christ. Here's God's hero in this great battle that everyone is involved in, including you and I. Now, look what he does. I will put my spirit upon him. I just want to say here, people, if you have a servant, you give them all the tools to get accomplished what you want them to do. One of the most difficult things in life is to be given a task, but not the tools to fulfill the task. Sometimes this happens in the military. Sometimes this happens in the work world. You're given an assignment, a task, but not given the tools. You might even be given the authority, but not given the tools. You can't do it. You cannot do it. I had a great drama coach in high school, and he was a funny kind of guy, but he's a pretty good drama teacher. But what I liked about him was he would come in, we were getting ready to do Oedipus Rex, for example, and he would look and he would say, okay, make the stage suitable for this scene, and walk off. I mean, he didn't say what he wanted, didn't say, nope, do it. Well, we figured, okay, we went, got some pools and got some wood and got some stuff, and we made the scene, and we just had to do it. See? Well, God gives us all the tools, everything we need. You lack nothing to fulfill God's plan for you on earth. You do not lack IQ. I do not lack height. You do not lack anything to fulfill what God wants us to do. He has given to every one of us everything we need to fulfill God's plan for our lives. He's given us the IQ, the ability, the stamina, all these things to fulfill his plan. Now, whether or not we use them or not is a great issue. Most Christians do not use the Holy Spirit. It's like having $1 million used to be a lot of money. $1 million in the bank and scrapping pennies to pay for your groceries. instead of drawing on it. And that's the way a lot of Christians live. They do not tap in to the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You and I have the third member of the Godhead, the same one that supplied Jesus with love, supplies us with this love. Same one. We have this Holy Spirit. So God supplies us everything that we need. We have the completed canon of Scripture. We don't need something else. We have the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have pastor teachers. We have music. We have everything. See? Doesn't mean we're going to use them. Church of Corinth was an unbelievable church. Church of Corinth lacked nothing. Absolutely nothing. See? And they blew it. Royally. Fighting one another, competing with one another, jealous of one another. See? Church of Smyrna, they hardly had anything. And they won. They stayed with the Lord. They stayed with the Spirit. They stayed with His plan. So, you have to make up your mind what you want to do as far as the plan of God is concerned. See? Now, next phrase. I have put my Spirit upon Him. Power of the Holy Spirit is on Jesus Christ. And the great issue is, will Jesus Christ at any time try to function as a servant of God by His flesh power, or will He always rest on the power of the Holy Spirit? That's the great issue. That's the importance of that phrase. I will put my Spirit upon Him. Now, will He use Him or not? And people, I hate to tell you this, that's the same issue with you and me. He has given to each one of us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The great issue is, are you going to rely on Him? Are you going to rely on Him? God help me if I ever sit down at my desk without first just my right with the Holy Spirit. People, I mean, I just get up to go get some water or something. But when I come back and sit down and get back, I make sure that somewhere we're in the kitchen and back, I didn't get out of the Holy Spirit. See? He's still there. I'm still relying on Him. See? It's that important to me. It's that important to you. It's by faith that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why He gave Him. And so, I will put my Spirit upon Him. Now, it's again the great issue. The great issue is, will Jesus Christ at any time try to function as a servant of God by His own power? Or will He always rely on the power of the Holy Spirit provided to Him by God? Now the next phrase, and He shall proclaim justice to those dirty, rotten Gentiles. Now, the best thing I can do is put this in perspective for you, is to translate this way. He shall proclaim justice to the Muslims. If you have a unbelievable attitude toward them that I do, because I read every day from their formation, there's hardly any time that they weren't killing people because they believed in Jesus. So, I think I feel about the Muslims the way Jews felt about Gentiles. See? And so, you take this phrase, and He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Now, verse 19. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, boasting, bragging. His servitude is much different than that of the morning star. No violence, no boasting, no conflict. Even in the midst of extreme suffering, Jesus Christ will not stop relying on the Holy Spirit on the cross and revert to His own power. He will not do that. He will remain in the power of the Holy Spirit, remaining the servant of God. Now, next, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. See? Well, first of all, he will not quarrel nor cry out. Let his voice be heard. Nor will anyone hear him, his voice in the street. Jesus Christ is not going to rebel, lead a rebellion, violence, anything like the Morning Star did in the prehistoric world. Now verse 20. A battered reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not put out. This continues the description of the manner Jesus Christ will conquer and deliver the prey of the Mighty One. He will not come boasting, bragging, causing violence, causing rebellion with God, nor as here will he make a battered, take battered man and break him and make him become a weak man. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. A battered reed is a battered man. See, he'll not break off. He will be battered by the world, but he's not going to back off. See, Jesus Christ is going to exalt, is not going to exalt himself by knocking off the weak. He is not going to exalt himself by giving in when he is smoldering. He is going to remain faithful. Then it says, until he leads or puts forth justice to victory. If you pay attention to this passage, you will see the invisible warfare. Justice. Victory. This began with the entrance of the Mighty One, Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of the Mighty Man, into the kingdom of the Mighty One. That is, Jesus Christ's entrance into Satan's kingdom of darkness. He came into Satan's kingdom of darkness. Take us out of Satan's kingdom of darkness. There's conflict. And Jesus Christ did not use all his power, all his authority to exalt himself, boast, but he served. He brought forth justice on the cross. And again, what kept Jesus Christ from taking his greatness and exalting himself and boasting is the power of the Holy Spirit pouring in spiritual love. That's what we're studying, spiritual love. It will not allow Jesus Christ to boast. It will not allow Jesus Christ to take his place over the Morning Star, over the Sanhedrin, over mankind. He's not going to do it. He's going to bring in justice for all mankind. And he did that on the cross. Now, verse 21. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Okay. Will the Jews hope? Yeah, they're going to hope too. But this is so problematic to a Jew that he is going to do this for the Gentiles. In his name, the Gentiles will hope, confidence. Any hope we have of salvation, of eternal life, freedom of the soul, is in the person of Jesus Christ. If he boasts, we're destroyed, we lose. If he continues, we do not lose. So this is the great issue that we wanted to look at this morning. At creation of the Morning Star, serving God with all of these new creations, angels, all the angels all over the earth, nations of angels. He came down, went back and forth, serving God. He represented God to angels, angels to God. He walked with God in the Garden of Eden. He walked with God on the mountain. That's Jerusalem, what is the modern day Jerusalem. He walked with him in the stones of fire. All the places that Jesus Christ was in heaven, he walked with him, serving him. But at that point, he rebelled. He stopped loving Christ. When he stopped loving Christ, he rebelled, started looking at himself and rebelled against God. Now, in the trial, which is why the human race is here, we have another servant of God, Jesus Christ. I want you to see him as a servant of God to counter the morning star. So, will this Jesus, who is empowered by the Holy Spirit, serve him or rebel against him and boast? He did not rebel against him. He did not boast and has not boasted and will not boast. And people, you will not either if you will walk and remain in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. All right, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there's just so much we would not know at all. You've taken us behind the curtain into the invisible realm. You've taken us into the third heaven. You've let us see things that we would never know about the morning star, angels, and then Jesus Christ. Why Christ? Why the Holy Spirit? Why spiritual love? I pray, Father, your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to motivate us to stay in the power of the Spirit and have spiritual love in our lives, that we will keep on loving you and loving your Son, loving your Word, and therefore not boast. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.